Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Hi, my name is Rob Burrows, Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired from the United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq, director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, Silver Star Veterans and Widows, and our Christmas for the Troops program, and our Warm a Vet program, and just we have so many things that we do here in our Northern California community. And I'm sure sometimes you probably get tired of hearing me talk about all these different programs, but let me tell you how important these programs are. We constantly get phone calls and requests to take care of individuals in our community who have served their nation, or their husbands have served, or their wives have served their nation. And we step forward, we step out, and we help take care of them. An example of this week, we're taking care of one of the Vietnam widow and the son or the daughter of a World War II B-17 gunner. Military personnel who served during World War II, and they've had a homeless person breaking into their backyard, into their shed, stealing things and looking through the windows late at night and things like that. So we went out there and took care of their shed, put a new door on it, and cleaned all the brush off the fences and took away stuff that they were using for ladders to climb over. There's no excuse for anybody to have to do that, but especially the son or daughter or the husband or wife of somebody who served this nation. So once again, we step out and we work together to take care of our widows and our community, those that are in need, that are part of our military family that goes across the board. And so as these different requests come to us, we step out and we help them as we move forward. If you don't know what today is, let me refresh your memory. Today is February 19th, and it is 2022. But 78 years ago, this morning, was the invasion of the American forces on the island of Iwo Jima. The island of Iwo Jima was attacked by the American, was assaulted by the American forces, the Marine Corps, the Army, and the Navy Seabees. At Iwo Jima to take that island. It was a critical island and a stepping stone for us to be able to fly aircraft to Japan to do the bombing with the B-29s and the B-17s. Up until this point, our aircraft are flying from other islands such as Tinian, and they would fly all the way over, but they wouldn't make it back because of the fuel issue. They could only carry so much fuel with the ammunition and the bombs that they were carrying, and many of those flight crews had to ditch in the ocean on the way back. It was a loss of men, and it was a loss of assets. And so something had to be done. And so there was initiation put together by President Roosevelt for us to do island hopping. Instead of taking every single island, certain islands were skipped. We didn't expand forces on them. We went to the next set of islands from there. The key points for us to be able to get close enough flying distance to Tokyo without losing our men, without losing our aircraft as assets. And because obviously that was toward the end of the war, we were running out of assets and not really running out, but we were thin on what we had because it took so much for us to make these aircraft and then fly them halfway around the world, only to have to ditch them in the ocean, after one mission. And plus the crew members were losing men, and those lives were so important. And so let me give you a little background on this for the invasion of Iwo Jima. Even before ground operations to secure the Mariana Islands of Guam, Saipan, and Tinian ended, U.S. Naval Construction Battalions were already clearing land for bases suitable for the B-29 superfortresses. These huge bombers had a range capable of reaching the Japanese homeland. The first B-29 bombing runs began in October of 1944, but there was a problem. Japanese fighters taking off from tiny Iwo Jima were intercepting B-29s as well as attacking the Mariana airfields. The U.S. determined that Iwo Jima must be captured. The U.S. Marines invaded Iwo Jima February 19, 1945, after months of naval and air bombardment. The Japanese defenders of the islands were dug into bunkers deep within the volcanic rocks. Approximately 70,000 U.S. Marines and Seabees and 18,000 Japanese soldiers took part in the battle. In 36 days of fighting on the island, nearly 7,000 U.S. Marines and Seabees were killed. Another 20,000 were wounded. Marines captured 216 Japanese soldiers. The rest were killed in action. The island was finally declared secured March 26, 1945. It had been one of the bloodiest battles of the Marine Corps history. After the Battle of Iwo Jima served as an emergency landing site for more than 2,200 B-29 bombers, saving the lives of 24,000 U.S. airmen. Securing Iwo Jima prepared the way for the last and largest battle in the Pacific, the invasion of Okinawa. The flag raising atop Mount Suribachi took place February 23rd, and this is the first flag raising. In 1945, 5 days after the battle began, Associated Press photographer Joe Rosenthal took the famous photograph of five Marines and one Navy corpsman raising the flag. The flag raisers were Corporal Harlan Block, Navy pharmacist mate John Bradley, Corporal Rennie Gagnon, Private First Class Franklin Sousley, Sergeant Michael Strink, and Corporal Ira Hayes, who was the Pima Indian who was there and part of that flag raising. Three of these men, Strank, Sousley, and Block, were killed before the Battle of Iwo Jima was over. The photograph was quickly wired around the world and reproduced in newspapers across the United States. The image was used as a model for the Marine Memorial at Arlington National Cemetery. During that time, 27 Medals of Honor, our country's greatest, highest military award for bravery, were awarded action on Iwo Jima, more than any other battle in U.S. history. Admiral Chesty W. Nimitz was said to say, "Among the men who fought in Iwo Jima, uncommon valor was a common valor. The bravery, the heroism, the loss of life, the sacrifice that these men gave to take this small island so that we could continue to move forward with the battle and the fight against the Imperial Japanese in order to end the war. Without the opportunity to be able to move forward and to take this, it was there was going to be many, many more American lives that were going to be lost. As the Marines were attacking one side of the island, which were the beachheads and the sandy area was, the Navy Seabees were on the opposite of the island, and they were coming in where the airstrip was, so they could get in there and they could rebuild the airstrip because it had been bombarded by American forces so much that it was pretty much completely torn up. And so even as the Japanese were fighting, and they're shooting at the Seabees and their vehicles and their equipment, the graders and the bulldozers, as they continued to do rapid runway repair on that facility, they were being shot at by the enemy. And that, hence the term, we build, we fight, because as they're driving their equipment, as they're working, doing the construction, they would carry their rifles over their shoulder with full combat gear, and they would work, and they would fight when the Japanese came out, and then they would continue to work. Many Seabees were killed because of sniper fire, because the main forces for the Japanese were on the opposite island facing the Marines face to face. And that was the area that was taken care of. A key part of World War II, the Battle of Iwo Jima. And today, once again, February 19th, we look at it, and it is the 78th anniversary. Want to sing a quick song real quick in honor of our Seabees. I had an uncle that was there, and my father was there offshore on the USS President Adams, offloading Marines and cargo. We're the Seabees of the Navy. We can build and we can fight. We'll pave our way to victory and guard it day and night. And we promise to remember the 7th of December, we're the Seabees of the Navy, bees of the seven seas. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Your friendly oil change, Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
In the soul.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And I'm your host, Ron Burrows, this morning. And that is in honor of all of our Marines. But today, February 19th, we're referring back to 1944, the invasion of the Marine Corps, United States Navy, and the Seavies, and the U.S. Army on the island of Iwo Jima. And so we want to remember those men who gave their lives, and we want to continue to remember our history. It is so important for us not to forget the sacrifice that those men made for us. They are our fathers, our grandfathers, our uncles, those men who stepped up to the plate and served and came home and continued to live their lives and then build our home and our communities here throughout the United States. And so once again, thank you to our Marine Corps, past and present, and those young men that are preparing and women that are preparing to serve right now. And we want to make sure our Navy personnel also that we remember those that gave their lives. It is so easy sometimes for us to just forget with our daily effort. You don't see anything in the news, and I looked, and I didn't see anything in the news last night or anything this morning about Iwo Jima. And maybe this evening there might be a little spot on the news if you're lucky. Somebody will say something about Iwo Jima and the Marines that gave their lives, the 7,000 personnel, 20,000 wounded that continued to get well and continue to move forward. Because they're preparing for the invasion of Japan. At that time, they were just doing the bombing. We hadn't come up with the bomb. The bomb had been dropped, the atomic bomb. And so we were planning for a full-out invasion if the Japanese had not surrendered. Every one of those wounded men would have healed up, and they would have gone right back to the battle there in mainland Japan. And so the many millions and thousands of lives that were saved by taking that island, how critical it was that they knew it was important, but they didn't realize how important it was until history had moved forward from there. This morning, we're continuing to remember our Vietnam veterans as we remember the commemoration of the Vietnam War and the Vietnam Wall. Our guest this morning is Dave Cockrell, United States Navy Chief, Communications Chief Petty Officer. And good morning, Dave.
Good morning there, Rob.
Dave, as we move forward into the program, Dave has become one of our board members for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage. And I just want to say thank you for stepping up and being a vital part of our organization there. You've supported us from the very beginning, Dave. And so it's so fitting that you're on the board because you have an opportunity to make decisions as we move forward and we continue to do great things in the community with our programs. And so, especially as a Chief Petty Officer serving your 20-plus years in the United States Navy, and so I want to thank you for your service during the Vietnam War, and thank you for your service in our community. Dave is involved in just about every single veterans organization that is here in Northern California and across our nation. He is part of the Fleet Reserve Association, the American Legion, the AMVETS, the Disabled Veterans, the 40 and 8, the VFW, and also the Museum Board, which encompasses all those different organizations as we represent all of our military personnel.
Yeah, and I recognize also the Koreans because my wife served in Korea, so that's their breakfast and meeting this afternoon.
Oh, so, it is today.
Yes, so after this, I'm going to be going to that event.
And that's in the Anderson VFW?
No, that's actually at the Waffle House.
Oh, they're meeting this morning?
This morning.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so... Yes, and so, yeah, I do a lot of this in honor of my wife. And, you know, my saying is I do not like Marines. I guess a lot of Marines understand that is not really true. I served with practically all the branches, so I know the Air Force, the Army. I have stories about the Army and Air Force, and I have stories about the Marines. And I always say I don't like the Navy because they sent me to all these commands. But,
and you served with Seavies also.
Oh, yeah. I had Seavies. I have stories about Seavies. I have stories about Marines and Army and Air Force. But I had a very interesting career. I won't go into it because it's very lengthy. I had a very good training. I went in with a Morse code, came out with satellite computers. I know digital, audio. Had training as a maintenance inspector.
That's like going from a covered wagon to a race car.
Yes, I know. I mean... So it was very interesting. I went in with as a high school dropout and probably came out with a college degree.
More like a master's degree, I think.
So Yes, when I was finally as an E7, they sat there and says, well, there's another story to that, why I didn't get the V8, E8, or 9. But if I had done what the Bureau wanted, I would never met my wife. So that became a plus. God works in a mysterious ways, and usually you find out later in life that it's a benefit to yourself. So,
you know, that's so very true, because how often do things happen in our lives? We ask why, or we don't understand. You know, we got our heart set on something, or our mind set on something, or our career path, and then something changes and we go, wait, I thought I was doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden you find out down the road, like yourself, that he was actually guiding you in a different direction for your own benefit.
There was a lot of individuals when I was in the service wanted to know why I was getting out. The truth is, the Bureau didn't want to talk to me because I refused a command that they wanted me to go on. And because of that, even though I didn't go on that command, when I got out, I eventually met my wife, and that has helped the community, veterans.
It's definitely helped us, and we greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, so...
Well, I'm just going to tell them it was the duty on the USS Iowa.
I'm not sure what that battleship it was. They wanted me to go on a battleship. Thousands of these E7s put into it, and I just came off two pre-coms. If you know what a pre-commissioning is, that's 16, 20-hour days, 7 days a week. You have to train everyone, and you have to go in and set it up. And I was tired.
You were fatigued. You're
beat up. I said no. And if I had gone on the battleship, I would have saved tens of thousands of dollars, because I would just walked on there with all this knowledge that I had at the time. And when I went to Stockton, which is almost a dead end, Rough and Ready Island, I was bored after 4 months. I mean, I was used to those 16, 20-hour days,
right,
being called up. You get, what, an hour sleep, and all of a sudden you're called to the Radio Shack. Chief, we need you to troubleshoot this problem we're having with the automated communication system. So, yeah, I was offered, what, ComNav Telecom, Washington, D.C. So, yeah, I had a quite good career and probably could have been E8 or 9. I was told if I walked aboard that battleship, I would have been E8. But, like I said, God works in mysterious ways.
And, you know, that's quite a turndown to know that you're going to go from a chief to a senior chief just by accepting a command like that. And so, I mean, that took a lot of courage on your part to say, you know what, I'm just tired and I'm done with this, and to move forward from there. But, you know, sometimes that's how you keep your sanity too, because they'll use you till you're just nothing but a wet rag.
Yeah, and being on that base of Stockton, being bored, I went to all the different, I was never in my office. Where is the chief watch officer? Well, he's out visiting fleet and ETs. And because of it, I found a discrepancy. And that discrepancy came about. And they were so proud that I was, or so excited that I was on watch when it happened. I got even a medal for it. Just because I was able to troubleshoot and correct a problem.
You were at the right place at the right time.
Right place at the right time. So that, and that medal and $15, I'll probably get a cup of coffee anywhere.
$15? With the price of coffee today, it's $3 for a cup of coffee. It's outrageous. Thank you, Dave. We're going to come right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Dave Cockrell is our guest.
Down to Bash, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only buy the guy, can't buy the nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled. at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for my show, North State Now, on the first Thursday of every month. We'll cover what's going on in the North State, Axiom Theater, local theater, arts, food, film, and even the latest in astrology. That's North State Now on the first Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, Anchors Away, the Navy song. And we are honoring those naval personnel that were there on February 19th, 1944, along with the Marine Corps, serving to take over that island, the Iwo Jima, from the Japanese so that we could move forward with the aircraft to conquer or to take over Japan so we could end the war, World War II in the South Pacific. And our guest this morning, Dave Cockrell, United States Navy Chief Petty Officer, retired. And Dave, we're talking about the different programs that you're involved with in our community. I want to step back for just a second and talk a little bit about why you went into the Navy, because we're remembering our Vietnam veterans, and you're a Vietnam veteran, and we're talking about our different veterans who served during that time frame, and it's important for us to find out some of these stories and things. It was a critical time in the nation. There was a lot of turmoil in the nation, and a lot of reasons for people to go into the military or not be drafted. Or we've talked to some that ran to Canada, and we talked to others that were people said, hey, maybe you should go to Canada, but they stuck it out. They served their nation, whether it was in the Army or any of the other branches.
All right. So you want to know why I joined the Navy. I had completed 3 years of high school. I'd gone to summer school. So as a junior, I had all the prerequisites to graduate except for government. Well, government wouldn't offer it in summer school because you had to take it during your senior year. And of course I didn't take it in my senior year and didn't fail it. That was the only way I could take government. And my dad said, you're not going to school for 1 hour a day while I go to work for 8 hours. And him being in the Navy, World War II. So I took a 1927 Standing Liberty Quarter, which I collected coins, rode a bus, went to Hayward, and took the exam at 16 to join the Navy. And of course, he asked us, what'd your dad say? Shape up or ship out? More or less. So, I was actually, when they came out, because they had a sign to have me, enter the Navy, and the recruiter says, why don't you let this kid continue high school? I says, he scored higher than some college students. And my dad said, he doesn't do any homework. He doesn't pay attention. He's smart. He just does not apply himself. No, he's going into the Navy. So that's how I got to go into the Navy.
You were your own worst enemy.
Yes, I was. Well, no one knew I couldn't see. I wasn't blind. I just couldn't see beyond my arm. So anything they put on the board, I couldn't see. So most of my learning was by hearing. And I was tested later. I had something like a 78% hearing retention. So if you said something, the chances are I would remember it. So they thought I wasn't paying attention, but...
So you didn't have a photographic memory. You had a hearing memory.
And so, of course, I joined the Navy as a high school dropout. Not completely.
Which you really weren't.
My wife said that. You aren't a high school dropout. She says, you could have completed just by having one course.
Well, and if you had glasses, imagine what you would have been able to have learned.
Oh, when I went to B school, I was really having trouble with math. I'd get 80 and 85%, and you get early liberty. I said, why am I having so problems? That's when I realized the chief had two anchors on his lapel. I said, wait a second, I can't see what's going on the board. And once I could see what was going on the board, I went from 80 to 85 to acing the exams. Because I actually could see.
So you got your glasses in the Navy.
I got my glasses in the Navy. I remember putting them on. I sat there, walked out, and the doctor says, you have astigmatism. They can't still out, but as the day goes on, your vision gets worse and worse and worse. So I remember putting glasses on and looking down the middle of the street and seeing people down there, taking them off and says, there's people down there. Because I was used to walking in a fog.
Right.
And I could not believe that people could actually see that well, normal. But when I put glasses on, I almost made the honor of the top of the class, and I missed it by a couple questions, which means my name would have been one of the 10 of top B school graduates, 90% above. And I almost made that. I think I missed by 0.005. And if they give me 15 more minutes on the exam, I would have made the board. But they didn't. They called the exam, so I missed 14 out of the 15 just guessing. And when they asked me oral, I could answer them. But I just didn't have time to complete the test.
Right.
So, but yeah, it was amazing. And, of course, I came here, I was stationed here during Vietnam. I'd been in Vietnam. That's another story that I had with going aboard ship. A lot of people don't know in the Navy you're not supposed to talk and salute. You're silent. And I didn't know that. When I walked aboard, I just thought I was doing exactly what I was supposed to, reporting aboard as an ordered, sir. And the OD said, we're going to teach this sailor how to come aboard. Why? I saluted the ensign. I saluted the OD. But you're not supposed to talk when you salute. You're supposed to sit there and say, request permission to come aboard, sir. Then you salute, and you wait for the OD to return it. You do not talk under the salute. So I got really reprimanded on that. So that was my first experience aboard the USS Currituck.
There is nothing like getting your butt handed to you for something you don't know. And there's no excuse for not knowing it.
Yeah, well, I wasn't trained. That's another story of going into Vietnam. I was delivering a message. I won't tell you exactly. I'll tell you what the admiral said when I delivered the message. So who in the hell sent you? I still remember that admiral. To be honest, what I did was no one told me you weren't supposed to salute in a combat zone. And what did I do? This is an admiral. I'm only a seaman. So I saluted him.
Yeah, popped the salute.
Oh, Jesus. I found out later. To the Marines that escorted me, that's why, you know, I say I don't like, but I really have honor Marines. All you Marines out there, don't you remember this? Anyway, I really honor Marines because I served with them from E2 all the way through to E7. So, and of course they were my escorts. When I went into the war zone to deliver this message to the admiral, yeah, I found out later that you weren't supposed to salute officers in a combat zone. So I wish they would have told me that before I took the message in, but no, they didn't. So, and that admiral was pretty high up. Patrol Force 7th Fleet.
He was the head admiral.
Yeah, he was a head admiral for the the
head commanding officer. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I learned real fast after that. You do not salute officers in combat.
Well, after getting my butt handed to me on several occasions, I learned to watch what other people did before I did it, so that I was trying to use somebody else's example as we were moving forward to doing different things. Because there are so many times, yeah, I learned to keep my mouth shut and not be the first one to speak also.
Oh.
And so, because there's so many times that you say something because you think something, and you're not to be speaking unless spoken to, or requested information from. And, even when I was a chief petty officer in Kuwait, on the admiral staff for when we were doing briefings before convoy missions and things like that, boy, if you were to speak out at before your time or whatever else, the adjutant would be all over you, if not the admiral himself. And so, yeah, so I learned that even as a chief petty officer, I was still getting it handed to me on occasion.
I, my career as an E7, I worked under, officers, female and male, and it seemed like the ones that didn't really like me the most was my peers, the other chief petty officers. The enlisted liked me because I always stuck up for the enlisted.
Right.
And the officers liked me because I always looked out for them. If I thought they were doing wrong, I would be there and then explain to them, sir or ma'am, this is the way you should do it. And, you know, so.
That's the job of a chief, to take care of junior officers.
Yes. So anyway, I was respected by the officers and the enlisted below me, but it seemed like the chiefs didn't like me because I held them to the same standards as me. Anyway, that's my story.
That's part of your story. We're going to listen to some more of it as soon as we come back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, where the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. The man who died, who gave that right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, the man who died, who gave that right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning, Dave Cockrell, United States Navy Chief Petty Officer, retired. And we are talking about your career. You served during the Vietnam War. You stepped on the soil of Vietnam and dealt with some of the issues, taking top secret information to the senior leadership that was there.
I don't know if it was top secret, but it was because it was in a briefcase. I just handed it to them.
And it was a briefcase handcuffed to your hand.
Yeah.
I would say when it's handcuffed to your hand, that means you're going to give your life for it if you have to. That's top secret.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'd like to thank all the veterans. That's female that probably don't realize they are veterans, and the male. I really appreciate the two Air Force sergeants that trained me that knowledge was power. And the Army, I can't say too much for the Army, but Bill Farmer, who I served up here in Reading with, I know Jim Young knows who Bill Farmer is, and the Marines, especially the Marines that escorted me, and I really appreciate them. I just wanted to know you to know that I appreciate all the armed forces. You won't hear this proverbially, because I'll always say I don't like you, but down deep, I do. So,
well, you're always looking for a reaction is what you're looking for.
Yeah. So anyway, I just want you to know, even your females, you are veterans. Don't ever think you're not. I served with females, so that's the end of that.
So your wife was a veteran?
That's right. She was Army.
And she was a nurse?
She was actually the medical corps. She got out after 9 years because they wouldn't give her special school. Then I had a heart attack. And then, of course, that's when I met her. And we went together about 11 years before we got married, but that's another story.
Her name was Carrie?
Carrie, yeah, Carrie. So, yes, very special person. The VA didn't understand why she married me, of all people. But I was kind of grateful for that.
Well, and, you know, a lot of the things that you, Dave, in our community and for other veterans is in honor of Carrie.
Yes, she was a special person.
And you've supported the museum through the years. I mean, you and I first met doing Honor Flight in Northern California. We were taking World War II veterans back to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And that was really a neat and special experience because how often do you have that opportunity to be able to work with another chief and be able to do something to honor veterans and things along that way?
Well, that honor flight was kind of special. I met Dottie. I have a lot of stories about her. And that's the first time I ever heard that women were able to bring their mother. They had mother and daughter teams in World War II. And she wanted to go to the Women's Museum just to see her mother. Showed a picture of her mother on a Jeep.
I think I was with you when we went through there.
And I had you document her because she was like Rosie the Riveter.
Yes.
Because she became an engineer of a train because of World War II. She could start up a train and run it. So went from a window washer to an engineer.
Well, that's quite a feat by itself also.
Yeah.
And then especially to allow a woman to be in that position, especially at that time.
Right.
So today, some information I just received. On February 19th, National Veterans Girls Rise Day recognizes the immense dedication of the nearly 2 million U.S. women veterans. On National Vet Girls Rise Day, not only is it the day to recognize women veterans, but it is a day for women veterans to support one another and to share resources, build relationships, and spread awareness concerning the needs of women veterans. The willingness of America's women veterans to sacrifice their country has earned them the lasting gratitude. Since the Revolutionary War, women have served in the armed forces, and many have not been recognized for their service. Today, the contributions of nearly 2 million women veterans deserve acknowledgement. The day celebrates the bonds they formed and their experiences through military service. So thank you to all of our military women who have served this nation from past, present, and those that will serve in the future.
Yes. Very good. A lot of female do not know they're veterans, but they are. I don't ask, when I see a family coming, I don't ask, are you a veteran? I ask, has anyone in your family served? That way, it gives the female a chance to say, well, I served. Well, then you are a veteran. I don't care if you're a reservist, you signed on that dotted line. That means at some point in time, you could have your life taken because you're actually doing that. And a lot of people don't understand that's the difference between a firefighter and a police officer. I really respect firefighters and police officers, what they do. But those that served the military, they signed almost to your property of the government. Like it or not, that's what you are.
And to go anywhere in the world to do
right.
the duty.
So, yes.
And one of the things that has been brought to my attention on several occasions is that sometimes women veterans who are qualified don't get the benefits that they deserve, or they have to fight for those benefits. And so that's one of the things that's been brought to Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services is some women veterans who are not getting those benefits that they deserve. And so that's one of the fights that Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services has, is to continue to move forward to find out what these different benefits are for female veterans, and to make sure they get those benefits that they're required, that they earned, that they are due. Even those that served in the combat zone on ships in the Persian Gulf during Iraq and Afghanistan wars, sometimes it's been brought to my attention that they're not getting the benefits that they deserve. And so I'm not exactly sure what that is, but as we move forward, we're going to do some more investigating. And part of the program that we're using to do that investigation is the FRA, the Fleet Reserve Association. And so I've been in contact with the National Fleet Reserve Association personnel, waiting to get some more information back, and also the state representatives, because if you wear the uniform and you serve, especially 90 days in a combat zone, you deserve your benefits. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Sometimes it seems like the men get all the benefits and the women are kicked to the curb. And so I think it's so very important for us to move forward to make sure that all of our women, especially with this program and recognizing women veterans, continue to move forward and make sure that they get the exact same benefits that they've served in those locations also.
So one of the things I think a lot of newer veterans or people that served or they don't realize that by belonging to a veteran organization, you're a voice, and the voice fights for these benefits, and that's where we need to be strong. So I encourage any female or male that served to join a veteran organization. I'm not particular which one, but you need to join. I joined all of them because I'm a voice, and I know that I'm protecting not only the benefits for the male, but also the female. Because that's where we are in Congress. And I know what the government gives, the government will take away. And I've seen a fact that they tried to take away benefits from veterans. And if it wasn't for the American Legion, AMVETS, and all these other veterans organizations stepping forth and telling the government no, we would have lost them. So if you have if you're out there and you are a veteran, and you're honorably discharged, I advise you to search out a veteran organization that you're comfortable with. I belong to all of them because I know I'm a voice for all veterans, that's female and male, in Congress and in the state of California. I'm a voice, and that's what we need. And as we dwindle in size, and it's not our grandfather's club anymore, we are a powerful force. As you join these veterans organizations, Congress looks at that. They look at the possibility that I'm married, I have a family, and this is affecting veterans. And so if you can do that, I suggest that you join a veteran. And we're going to be talking about the FRA, I guess, when we come back. Is that right, Rob?
We'll be talking about the Fleet Reserve Association, yes. Right. And we'll be talking also about the other organization, 40 and 8,
right.
Which refers back to our World War I generation and those military personnel that have served since then that are qualified to be part of that program also. You know, it's amazing to me that they put all these movies out there about superheroes and about cartoon characters and make-believe. But they never come back to the men and women who serve this country, who have overcome all of the odds to live their life, whether it's young or old, and then also to be able to serve their nation. We need real American heroes and movies about our real American heroes. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Vice President Kamala Harris spoke to the Munich Security Conference in Germany today about growing tensions between Russia and Ukraine. She says Russia's ways are well known to the U.S. and its allies when it comes to violating international laws.
As we have said all along, there is a playbook of Russian aggression. And this playbook is too familiar.
Harris says Russia will pay a big economic price if it decides to invade Ukraine. Meanwhile, separatist leaders in eastern Ukraine have ordered a full military mobilization amid growing fears in the West that Russia is planning to invade the neighboring country. The announcement came amid a spike in violence along the line of contact between Ukrainian forces and the pro-Russian rebels in recent days. Some in that region of Ukraine want to defect to Russia. Special squads of Mexican army troops equipped with metal detectors and bomb suits have been deployed to the western state of Michoacan, where warring drug cartels have planted landmines or improvised explosive devices. Meanwhile, the U.S. is lifting a ban on inspections of Mexican avocados, freeing the way for exports to resume. More on that from correspondent Ben Thomas.
The U.S. ambassador to Mexico, Ken Salazar, says the decision came after Mexico and the U.S. agreed to enact measures that ensure the safety of agricultural inspectors. Those inspectors make sure Mexican avocados don't carry diseases or pests that would harm U.S. orchards. But their work was halted last week after one U.S. inspector was threatened in Michoacan, the only Mexican state certified as pest-free and able to export avocados to the U.S. market. There have been frequent reports that some packers are buying avocados from other non-certified states, trying to pass them off as being from Michoacan. I'm Ben Thomas.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Did you know that the FTC reported a 45% increase in fraud and identity theft claims in 2020? Our increased digital lives and shift to remote work have created easy targets for scammers. Staying safe may feel daunting, but protection for you and your family is easier than you think with Identity Guard. Plus, there's no better time to get started. Identity Guard is offering listeners a free 30-day trial. Visit identityguard.com/newstalk today for a free 30-day trial. That's identityguard.com/newstalk.
Entries due February 26th. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited.
Hey, America, you can win $5,000 a week forever from Publishers Clearinghouse. You heard me right. You could now win $5,000 a week paid to you every week for your whole life. Then after that, someone you choose gets $5,000 a week for their life. But you have to go to PCH.com before it's too late. There's just days left to enter to win, so go to PCH.com right now. You can't win if you don't enter. It's $5,000 a week forever. Go to PCH.com right now. That's PCH.com.
The U.S. adding to its medal count at the Winter Olympics in Beijing. Here's correspondent Denny Kapp.
Team USA braved strong winds to collect silver and bronze in the men's freeski halfpipe. New Zealand's Nico Porteous threw down a 93.0 in his first run and the fourth overall run of the competition. That score held up as conditions steadily deteriorated, limiting the athlete's ability to get much height on their jumps. American David Wise's quest for a third straight halfpipe gold came up just short. He posted a 90.75 to earn silver.
It felt really good for me to come out and land my first run. Obviously quite a bit of a different story from the last Olympics, but I'm just super proud to be out here still hanging in there with these guys.
Colorado's Alex Ferreira snagged the bronze. And after two runs, both American four-man bobsled teams find themselves over a second and a half off the pace. I'm Denny Kapp.
The last alpine skiing race of the Beijing Olympics has been pushed back by one day because of strong winds. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Hundreds of rodents were found inside a Family Dollar facility, as we hear from correspondent Mike Grazia.
Following a consumer complaint, inspectors from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration found more than 1,000 rodents inside a Family Dollar distribution facility in West Memphis, Arkansas in January. In a news release, the FDA says inspectors found live rodents, dead rodents in various states of decay, rodent feces, dead birds, and bird droppings. Family Dollar has issued a voluntary recall for items purchased from hundreds of stores in the South. The items would have been purchased in January or February from Family Dollar stores in Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, or Tennessee. I'm Mike Grazia.
Some of the products that may have been affected include food, dietary supplements, cosmetics, and medical devices, and over-the-counter medications. More details on these stories can be found at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And it's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his life. Mr. Red, White, to the swamps of Louisiana, to the golden coast of California. Uncle Sam's the only family he's got. His purple heartbeat won't stop. And his 18th birthday was the day he was born.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we are honoring our veterans once again this morning, those who have served. We're remembering the history, the historical factors, to make sure that we don't forget those sacrifices that were made. And it's not just World War II. It was World War I. You have to step back to the War of 1898, the Spanish-American War, and before that, the Civil War, but on to the Revolutionary War. Every one of the wars have constituted the preservation of freedom in this nation. Everybody says that, you know, this new generation of people that don't want to talk about war, how grotesque is it and how horrible it is. You know what? War is grotesque. War is horrible. There's blood. There's guts. There's loss of limbs. There's loss of livelihood. They come back with PTSD, and sometimes they take their own life. They commit suicide because they don't feel that anybody can relate to them, that they don't understand. And sometimes it's true. We have a society right now that it's more important to play with your thumbs on a phone or a game than it is the reality. They'll play war games on their video games, but they won't step out and serve. Oh, because they're cowards. Because nobody's teaching these individuals what it means to stand up for your freedom. Because this generation and generations in the past who have led to this point that are not teaching. We have let communism and Marxism and things like that creep into our society, into our schools, to take away our churches. They don't talk about God anymore. They just show up and sing songs and that's it. We as a nation have to continue to step up, even though it may not be popular for us to remember those who have served and sacrificed and what the reason for the freedom and the cause is. Because the comment is, freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free, and the cost of freedom is generally broken bones and blood loss. That's the cost of freedom. Because that's the sacrifice. And we don't have enough people stepping up to the plate and being courageous in our communities. When it's so easy to be kowtowed, well, somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to throw a rock at my house. Da, 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 da. How many people have sacrificed for stepping up in this nation through the years, even though they were under just scrutiny, because they stepped up for the right thing? Stepping up for the right thing is the only thing that matters. Because at the end of the day, you either kowtow to whoever the enemy is, or you stand up and you die for something that's right. People say, well, I don't want to go in the military because I don't want to die. Well, then ride your motorcycle 100 miles an hour down the road and crash and burn and give your life for nothing. Go do drugs and give your life for nothing. Go drink and drive and give your life for nothing. At least the men and women who serve this nation, they serve for the red, white, and blue. They serve for this nation because that is the baseline for this freedom. And those that have a free ride and those that complain about everything never have the courage to step up and put their lives on the line. And you know what? Sometimes that's what it takes. It doesn't matter whether you're in a foreign country or you're in the United States of America, because it seems more and more as you watch the news every single day. You see what's going on in Canada right now. They're losing their rights left and right. And that is the bottom line. Look at what the definition of Marxism is. What's going on in Canada right now is Marxism. And it's the border away from us. And so we have to look at that and we have to watch it, because that Marxism, that socialism, is so close to walking across the border into this nation with this government that we have right now, that if we are not careful, we will become subjected to those terms that they're trying to force upon the Canadians right now. And that's what this program is about, to honor those men and women who are wearing the uniform right now and who have served and sacrificed their lives for the freedom that we have. If my father could see what's going on right now, he would roll over in his grave because of the sacrifices that he made during World War II in the Navy. And I know of many other veterans that I have known in my life who served. And I listened to them as they talk when I was younger and as I grew older as to what they served and why they served and that dedication and that fervor, because they love this country so much. It's not a perfect country. By no means is it perfect. But how important it is that we continue to move forward in one manner or another. And if it comes down to the last man, it comes down to the last man. But count me in. I'll be one of the last men to stand up for this nation and for the rights and the freedoms that we have. For my sons, for my granddaughters, and for my granddaughters' families. Because if we don't take it now, it will be gone. If we don't continue to move forward and stand up for what's right, it will be gone. And so I just, as we talk with the rest of our program, we move forward. You need to take it to heart out there if you're listening, because you need to understand that we're down to the brass tacks. Our nation is getting to the point where we're going to have to make some solid decisions here soon. And the question mark is going to be, are you going to stand up for what's right for this nation, or are you going to allow some Marxist politician to step in place and make you a prisoner in your own nation? Dave, I got on a rant. We're coming back to our Fleet Reserve Association, but I listened to the news and it just burns me inside out that I saw men, Marines and Navy personnel die in Iraq. We put them in body bags. And my question comes back is, what did they die for? We can't allow these things to take place when these people have given their lives for our nation.
We've seen that during Honor Flight when the government shut down and closed memorials
in the parks and everything.
In the parks and everything, where we had World War II veterans actually speak out and said they didn't fight their country for this. I think you've seen what right afterwards they took down the barriers.
Well, who got out and moved the barriers so the bus could go through?
Oh,
I did.
Yeah, that was, and it was a shame that the Marine Memorial, the Park Service wouldn't allow veterans to get out, and these are elderly World War II veterans.
It was their memorial.
This was their one chance to see it.
World War II Marines.
And they wouldn't let them see it. And I actually pushed a World War II veteran towards the Lincoln Memorial, and they spoke out saying they didn't fight their country for this. And right after that, that's when you should have seen how much D.C. police was there to prevent people to go see the memorial. Right after that, they took down this barricade. And then peacefully, the people went and observed the memorial. And the next day, you seen all the barricades being marched and parked on the White House lawn.
And that was because they shut it down because of funding.
Funding. But, yes. Well,
but it's the people's memorial. It's the people's country.
And they didn't stop the veterans from going to see the Korean veteran. The Park Service there, they just let them walk through. Some congressmen actually helped move the burial so the veterans could go see it.
And Congressman LaMalfa was there with us also that day.
So anyway, let's get back to the FRA, because we have other things. Anyone is eligible for the FRA that is restricted to persons who have served or are now serving enlisted status, the United States Navy, Marine Corps, or Coast Guard, regardless of length of service. And this includes a reserve component. The other thing is, if you are listed and became a officer, that still makes you eligible, because I think Commander Gibson, who was a listed, became a officer.
If they're prior enlisted. But
right.
If they're a flag officer, they're not eligible.
They're not allowed. They're not, I guess they're not eligible.
Dave, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll pick this up on the other side. I took our time when I was ranting and raving. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Been home about 6 months now, and I still have my doubts. Well, I'm not sure how I got here or how I'm gonna get out. Well, my mama says I look the same as I did before I left. But if she could see inside of me, it would scare her to death. I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. They taught me how to put that uniform on. I just can't get it off. Last Saturday they honored us in a small parade downtown. And when they shot off those fireworks, I nearly hit the ground. And while they smiled and cheered for us,
Cause part of me is here at home, but part of me is back there. Well, I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. Well, they taught me how.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expression. Our guest this morning, Dave Cockrell, and we're talking about the Fleet Reserve Association. And the Fleet Reserve Association encompasses Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard personnel who are out of the service now or retired. And it is a representation program of where it's camaraderie and service members can come together. And the representation is also representation before Congress. So it's a national organization that allows us to be able to have a voice at the congressional level so that somebody is there standing up for our benefits and for our rights for these particular branches. And so, Dave, as we move forward, we're going to be starting up this program again. We've had it here in our Northern California area, but because of COVID, we've kind of set it aside. We haven't had meetings. But tomorrow is going to be our first initiation meeting again for the Fleet Reserve Association. It'll be held at the Northern California Veterans Museum offices. They're in Anderson. The address is 2110 North Street. And you can look that up underneath NorCalVeteransMuseum.org, which is our website. But we are going to be reestablishing the meetings so that we can come together. I know that we have other veterans that need some representation through this program, and also through Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, which is a co-program to work together with the FRA. And so tell us a little bit more about the information that you're going to be talking with the FRA and why we should be asking individuals to step up at this time and still be a part of this program.
Well, the FRA was established in 1924, and its mission is to safeguard the pay, benefits, and entitlements of the active duty, reserve, and retired members of the sea service. And I'm constantly, well, I should say, every once in a while, I get a memo from the FRA, say, take action. And this is where I actually put my name in, that I'm actually helping the FRAs to support and go to Congress to fight for the benefits. And I see that through my emails. So it was established, like I said, 1924. The other thing is, and I'm going to read this whole item, you know, it's the ending part that you have to listen to. No organization lobbies more effectively on behalf of active duty, reserve, and veterans sea service personnel. When they say sea service, that's your Coast Guard, Navy, and Marines. Than the FRA, and that's true because that's what they are pinpointed between seagoing. As a leading organization in the military correlation, there is about 35 different veterans organizations. A lot of people don't realize that there's many, but the largest one being the American Legion, the VFW, DAV.
AMVETS.
Yeah, AMVETS, thank you. So they work closely with those 35, and the organizations on important personnel issues. Sea service personnel, reservists, retirees, and veterans about government actions that affect them and what they can do to protect their interests. By belonging, you are protecting those interests. So all the men and women out there that have served in the sea service, it behooves you to belong to FRA. If you can't come to meetings, join. You are a voice. And that's just as important as if you came to the meetings and did the work. Like when we're going to have the meeting this Sunday, we're going to have to try to establish some of the committees that we're supposed to be doing out in the community. That is part of what the FRA does. Community involvement is very important. So anyway, that's what we're probably going to be trying to do. And I say probably, well, that's what we are going to do, is try to reestablish the FRA as being a force in the community. Because if you're not out in the community, no one knows you exist.
Right. And once again, when it comes to your opinion about things that are taking place, silence is consent. It sometimes it's the smallest things that you step up and do that mean the most, because your actions are a witness to what your beliefs are. And so if you serve this nation in the Navy, Coast Guard, or the Marine Corps, we'd like to invite you to be a part of this program. If nothing else, come and join and be on the roster. You don't have to come to the meetings all the time, but we do want you to be a part of the program, because like Dave said, every person that becomes a member is a voice as we move forward before Congress. Our attrition rate is incredible right now. We're losing so many of our veterans. We're losing our elderly veterans from the Korean War, because we've just about lost all of our World War II veterans at this time that can be able to be mobilized and come to a meeting or something like that. We're down to our Korean War veterans, our Vietnam veterans. We are losing because of Agent Orange, sometimes at a staggering rate. And then, you know, just the COVID has taken some of our veterans away, so we've lost veterans through the COVID. And so we're down to a smaller group, a smaller organization. And we would really like to put out for our Iraq, Afghanistan veterans to come and be a part of this. We know you're busy. We know you have families. We know you're involved, but that's okay. Just come and be a part. Introduce yourself. Let us go ahead and get your name on the roster and be a part of the organization. You don't have to be there all the time. But we want you to know that there's camaraderie, that there's other individuals that you may have served with. There's people with like-mindedness, so that you know that when you're out in public and somebody doesn't understand, or maybe your family can't relate, you come to a meeting and you talk with other veterans who have served and they understand, they've been there, they've done that.
And besides that, it's history. If you don't tell your story, no one knows it. And the other thing I like to say, you can break one pencil. But try to break 12. Try to break 100. And the more you have, the stronger you are. And Congress looks at that. As we dwindle, Congress sits there and say, well, you're not as important. The other thing, how many are there veterans out there that actually serve of the population? Is it less than 5%?
It's less than 0.05% of the national population. That is how many veterans. That's how many we have serving right now. I mean, in it's our veterans body. We in the Shasta County, we used to have 25,000 veterans. Through the attrition of the loss of life and through COVID, we are down to about 16,000 veterans in Shasta County that are here on an average basis. And one veteran has a spouse or a significant other, and then there's children below that. So when you lose that nucleus, you lose that body of influence. And as we lose our body of influence of our military veterans here in Northern California, we lose that capability to continue to move forward. You know, I was thinking about it last night. We've had all these veterans that we serve with in our community and with Honor Flight and everything else. They're still here, but we've transferred them from our living society to IGO Veterans Cemetery. They are still with us, but they're interred at the cemetery. And so we continue to remember their names, and we continue to remember and honor them for those who sacrificed and have died here in our community there at the IGO Veterans Cemetery.
You know, doing Honor Flight was such an honor, because you heard some stories that I didn't know why we dropped two bombs in Japan. Why did they actually have it? Were the veterans... People don't understand. If you don't understand the culture that you're fighting, you're a lost cause. Japan was never going to surrender. And how is it they're going to, first they're going to fight the older people, then the kids, and then the army going into Japan? Well, you're devastating a whole society, a whole Japan race. So dropping the bomb ended that criteria for Japan going to do that remote idea that you're going to sit there, you're not taking our island, we're going to fight till the end.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're talking about the Fleet Reserve Association. My guest, Dave Cockerell, will be right back.
Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Lewis Black, Off the Rails Tour.
You want a political commentator? Then bring on a barnyard animal. They have more to say to us. Like a lamb. What did you think, lamb? Bah! Back to you.
February 27th, Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now at readingcivic.com. Lewis Black reminding you, I'll see you in February.
Hey friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. Today we're talking about the Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista. Coming in a 5x40 Vitola, the Fugly is priced just right for our value-conscious customers. Draped in a chocolatey brown San Andres leaf, presented in natural or Maduro, this stick is a throwback to a Cheroot vintage. The Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Tired, I know you're worn, I know you're torn, you're losing all your hope, 'cause you're a long way from home. Oh, I know you're worried, I know you're scared. I'd like to put my arms around you, tell you I care. Hope is in heaven, not far away. Just close your eyes, what you say. Feel him around you, he's everywhere, reaching to touch you, know that he's there, deep protect you, guide where you go, keep you from evil that tears at your soul. Oh, speak to the Father, say what's on your mind. It just takes a moment if you take the time.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And believe me, there's a lot of soldiers' prayers when you're in the combat zone. And so it's so important. You know, I tell you what, they say that there's no atheist in a foxhole. I've been in foxholes and Humvees that were like foxholes, and you're right, there's no atheist in foxholes when the enemy's firing down range and you don't know if you're going to live second by second. And so many times we come back from the war zone and we're dealing with these issues that, you know, the biggest issues come up late at night. They come up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. That's when the devil raises his head and he throws out all the what ifs and all the things about what took place and everything else, and that you're by yourself and that you don't have any strength with that. And so that's when I always, you know, reach out to the good Lord for that strength. But another entity that we can do that with is by camaraderie with local veterans who have served where we served. It's so important for us to be able to have a social structure to talk and to be able to share our concerns with each other. One of the problems that we have with suicide in our community right now from our veterans is that they come back from the war zone and there's no personal interaction. Humans are designed for personal interaction. They're designed to have somebody put their arm around you and give you a squeeze. They're designed to have somebody give you a hug and give you encouragement. They're designed for people to have camaraderie and to laugh and to talk and to get those things out of their system. And one of the things that we promote with the Fleet Reserve Association is the fact that it's a camaraderie. It's an opportunity to come back and just to talk with others that have served also. It's almost like our Battlefield Expressions PTSD art therapy. When you're with like-minded individuals, when you can talk with like-minded individuals, and you know that they're not going to shoot you down with every word that comes out of your mouth, you're free to talk about those things and to express those things and to be able to get that poison out of your system. And that's one of the things that's so important with organizations like the Fleet Reserve Association, is that you have that opportunity to commingle and to be able to release some of that stress, especially if there's a loss of a loved one or a loss of a spouse, or you're just kind of by yourself and you don't have anybody to lean on. This is where the camaraderie comes in, where you can lean on your fellow sailors, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen.
Okay, so are we moving into the 48 now?
No, we're going to just finish talking about tomorrow. Once again, we just want to remind you we're going to be restarting the meetings with the Fleet Reserve Association. They're going to start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It'll be held at the Northern California Veterans Museum offices there in Anderson off of North Street. The address is 2110 North Street. And I encourage you to come on out and just see what we're going to be talking about, what the organization is about. And it is a faith-based organization because, you know, none of us survive without the strength of God. Bottom line. And so, as we move forward with this, the phone number there at the museum office is 530-378-2280. That's 530-378-2280. Like I said, we'll be there, and then we encourage you to call. We encourage you to come by. Encourage you to, if you have been part of the organization before, we encourage you to come back and be part of it again as we move forward. And immediately following that meeting at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a 40-and-8 meeting, which is a program from World War I that we're continuing on. It's a sub-program, used to be of the American Legion. Dave, tell us a little bit about the 40-and-8.
Okay, the 40-and-8 was established by a post in Philadelphia in 1920. And it was the idea that it became like the Honor Society of the American Legion, like the Cooties are the Honor Society of the VFW. Well, the 40-and-8 was the Honor Society of the American Legion. And it stayed with the American Legion until about 1960, then was separated and became its own organization. The 48 was mainly we supported nurses, and I like to see us get back to that. I'm trying to rebuild the 48 personnel-wise. And a little bit history about the Loki. The locomotive was a 1931 Henny. I think that was an ambulance?
It was a 31 Henley Hearst.
Hearst, okay.
Well, and that, you better explain to him what a Loki is, because...
Okay. The Loki is, if you've been to parades, you've seen a vehicle that looked like a train. Well, that's what a Voyager is in French. It's a train. And the officers of the 48 were all based on French. There is a 48, what do they call it? Not a cattle car, but it's a...
It's a regular train car.
A train car.
So during World War One, when the American forces landed at the beaches in there at the ports in France, the only way they could get to the front lines was to take them by train.
Train.
And the train cars had a number on the side of it, which said 40 and 8.
40 men and 8 horses.
Or 8 horses.
Right. And so there is one of these in Fresno. I guess France restored it and sent it, and it's in Fresno. They put a cover over it, I believe. So there is one. If you ever get to Fresno and see it, you're going to see how small these things are. And the reason why I think it's important that we reestablish the 48, several years ago, these cars were no longer able to be on parades or be actual function. They took out the possibility of having any insurance. So a lot of the Lokis, or Voyagers, what we call them, they disbanded the trains. They're still 48, but there's no Lokis. Some sold them to car dealers and whatever, or just actually scrapped them. Well, instead of scrapping ours, I turned it over to the museum to restore it it's a historical vehicle. And the thought is that if you join the 48, you can help us restore this thing back to its original condition. Will we be able to handle, people or get, probably not, but can it be back in parades under the, museum's insurance? That's a possibility, and that's what we're looking for, so people can see what the 48 was. And I think that this is the only one that I know of that is still active or still available in California.
It's still a viable vehicle.
Right. And I think Rob has said he has got it running. He has to work on the brakes. And we're trying to get it restored so that people can actually see and know the history of the 48. It even still has the emblems that says American Legion and the 48 emblem together.
So this vehicle, that is basically like a small train with a coal car on the back of it, was built on a 31 Henley Hearst frame. It has, it looks just like a locomotive. It was made by a blacksmith here in our community to honor these veterans, these World War One veterans in the organization. It has a train bell on it that is 1882 original train bell on it with the light system that's on it also. It has the whistle on it, the steam whistle, and the whistle off of a trolley car and a tugboat that are on there. I mean, it literally has all of the bells and whistles. And when we fire this up and fill the air tanks up and you start chiming and pulling all the levers and everything, it sounds just like a locomotive going down, an original locomotive going down the road when the tracks. And so, the lights that are on the back are original caboose lights from 1913. I mean, this vehicle has heirlooms on it that are just amazing, and we're preserving these items. The dash all inside is all from the 31 Hearst. The seats are tuck and roll. They're from the 31 Hearst. It is a treasure in itself. And as we continue to move forward and to restore this, we'll be able to get it back on the road for parades, even if we trailer it, because it is a one of a kind in California.
Yeah, and back, like I said, right now I talked to a lot of other 48 Voyagers. They said, man, I wish we could have turned it over to a museum because it's a historical vehicle. And it's a shame that we're possibly the only one in California that is still available. So I'd like to see it. Actually, I promised an individual that I would try to get this thing back. We need bodies to help us restore it. And again, by belonging to a veterans organization, you are a voice to help all veterans. That's women and women in our armed forces.
And it's being stored in the 1913 firehouse there in Cottonwood. So it's history in history upon history about history. And that's what the Northern California Veterans Museum is about. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Their grand opening is Saturday, February 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., with free drawings throughout the day. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. Don't miss their grand opening, February 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., in the Shasta Gateway Center. When it comes to best breakfast, you know Black Bear Diner is the place to be. But have you considered feeding your dinner bear there? Nothing says comfort like slow-cooked pot roast, house-made meatloaf, or a tender, breaded chicken fried steak. These dinners will take you back to the best home cooking comfort you know. Serve daily at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at ShastaCollege.edu.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we're down to our last segment here. And so this morning, once again, our guest is Dave Cockrell, United States Navy Chief Petty Officer, retired Vietnam War veteran. And once again, Dave, I want to say thank you on behalf of myself for your service in the Navy and also for serving during the Vietnam War on a crucial time in our nation when many chose not to and many chose to run. And you know, some of those individuals who ran away from the war at that time are actually in our leadership right now across our nation, which is a sorry shame. And that's one of the reasons that we have the poor leadership that we have now, because those individuals couldn't step up to the plate and serve their nation then, but they creeped in the back door and they've got the political seats. They've got their politician avenues in rhetoric that they're following right now, and it still takes away from our military personnel. We don't have any veterans that are in Congress. We don't have any veterans that are in the Senate. We don't have any veterans that are up there leading this nation right now. And so, therefore, when we have programs like the Fleet Reserve Association, the VFW, American Legion, these others, if we don't have a voice out there that steps up and says, hey, you need to represent our veterans in Congress. You need to represent our veterans across our nation. These organizations step up, and they are that voice, especially with a group of individuals that could care less about the military or are ignorant enough to not have enough information to know anything about the military because they choose not to learn, they choose not to understand history, and so they continue to repeat it. And we are the ones that are forced to deal with the issues when they completely continue to repeat history.
Well, thanks, Rob, for honoring Vietnam. But I want to thank all the firefighters, the police, first responders, and all those veterans that served, men and women. I have great respect for you all, and I really appreciate what you have done for our country. And like Rob says, if you don't belong to an organization that can help support your benefits, you are going to possibly lose them. And united, we're stronger. And what did China say? One individual has a gun, they control 100. And you see that throughout the history that we've seen just locally. Where one individual has a gun and no one else does. And that's sad, but that's just a fact of life.
And then they blame the gun and not the individual.
Yeah. I asked this gun a lot of times, will you fire up on that person? It does nothing until I take it. I have to take it, although I shouldn't say that because I know how to do voice control without being in the military and that. But no, but that's the way it – that's just a fact of life. You know, our Congress, back when they said the Constitution, these were smart men. I mean, they were way smarter than anyone I've known now today.
Than anybody that's in Congress right now.
I mean, because they studied, they knew several languages, they studied different governments. So when we came up with a republic, this is the great experiment. And like Benjamin Franklin said when he was asked what kind of government we have a republic if we can hold on to it. And that's what we're trying to do today is hold on to that republic. But going on to beyond history, which is, I guess, what I spoke of, the 48, I would like to see us restore this and go back and have nurse programs, which the 48 did years ago. We promoted nurse to help nurses because, you know, we do need medical. And that's one of the programs that the 48 was known for was the nurse program, as well as children and youth and community involvement. And the more people we get in the 48, the more people we can restore this historic vehicle that I like to see be restored. And I thanks to Rob. If it wasn't for the Veterans Museum, we would have probably lost this this vehicle, and it would not be in the, like I said, it's the only one I know of in California.
And we've kind of caught it just in the right time, just in the nick of time, because of the deterioration of it was pretty, I mean, almost all of the wood on it is rotten. So we've taken almost all of that wood off of it. We're in the process of getting it back to a point where we're going to restore it with probably diamond plate aluminum on some of the surfaces so that that way we're not using plywood and things like that to deteriorate from the weather and things. And so as we move forward with it, it's just a great opportunity to restore this artifact, because that's what it is. It's an artifact. And to be able to have it on display in our communities, not just Cottonwood, but other communities. And if we can get a trailer to put it on after we restore it, then we can move it that way and not have to worry about it falling apart. Once again, it's built on a 1931 Henley Hearst frame. And it has a wooden steering wheel in it, wooden dash with beveled glass. I mean, it's just tuck and roll seats that are inside of the original tuck and roll seats out of that 31 Hearst. It's just a unique, one-of-a-kind item. And, you know, we're grateful, Dave, that that was donated to the museum for us to preserve and to restore and get it back out there on the road to tell the story of our World War I veterans.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's a historic vehicle. So the more people, the more bodies we have, even if you can't help restore it by joining, you help us be a liable entity in the community and also in Congress.
So whether you're a business, if you're a business, you'd like to donate some of your items or your time or different things to help get this back on the road and rolling, we would appreciate any of that support. Obviously, the donations would be made through the Northern California Veterans Museum, and then the money would go to 40 and 8 to be able to reestablish this. But once again, we want to bring that back to you to let you know that we are going to be having the two meetings tomorrow, which is Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock for the Fleet Reserve Association. It'll be roughly about 45 minutes to an hour. And then at 4 o'clock, we're going to have the meeting for the 40 and 8, where we're going to reestablish and talk about that. A meeting for the 40 and 8 is called a promenade, and so we'll be having a promenade. We are coming up on the very end here, Dave. And once again, thank you for your service to our community and all the things that you do. And thank you for honoring Carrie with all of your donations, your wife that you lost several years ago. And we thank you for honoring her and for continuing to help our veterans in the community in her name.
And, Rob, at the end, will you give the address where the meeting is going to be and also the museum phone number as our closing comment? And I want to thank you for having me on, talking about the FRA and the 40 and 8. There's more history than the 40 and 8. We just can't cover it in 15, 20 minutes. I mean, this is from 1920 on what the 40 and 8 has done. So
once again, the address for the museum office in Anderson is 2110 North Street, right there at the stop sign across from New Tech High School. And we will be there in the afternoon. The phone number again is 530-378-2280. And so we'd like to invite you to come out and be a part, come out and find out some more information. And if you want to be a part, that's great. We invite you to be there. If you don't and it's not something you want to do, that's fine, but still come out and get some information. Find out what we're doing in our community to help take care of our Naval, Marine Corps, Coast Guard personnel, and then also any veteran is welcome to be a part of the 40 and 8. And so if you'd like to just come out and hear some more information, probably our next meeting that we're going to have will be at the firehouse in Cottonwood that is owned by the Northern California Veterans Museum, and that's where the locomotive is located inside the firehouse. And so we'll be pulling it out, looking at it, and seeing what needs to be done with it also. So once again, Dave, as we're coming down to the wire here, I want to just go ahead and thank you again. You know, with it, like we talked about earlier, with all the different organizations. But I want to say thank you for serving on the board of directors for the Veterans Museum. You've been constant. You're a financial supporter. We're very grateful for that. But you've always been a voice to help with the museum. You bring items and archivable things. When you find them, you bring them in. And we utilize those items as part of our collection process and also for displays and exhibits. And that's what it takes. It takes individuals in the community to help find these opportunities and to continue to support the program. As we move forward in this society, our historical, our military, and exhibit items like that are being thrown in the trash. They're being tossed aside. And so it's so important for us to preserve it. We have I'll be giving an interview or a tour here this afternoon at 1 o'clock with a classic car group that'll be at the offices today. And they'll be looking at some of the items. And they're bringing a Vietnam uniform to us that was actually tossed in the trash at a yard sale, and they're bringing that back to us for us to be able to have it preserved and on display to honor our Vietnam veterans. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. I want to thank you for being here. Remember to say thank you to our veterans, and remember, freedom is only one generation away, and right now we're in half of a generation that wants to just toss it. We need to stand up, we need to be courageous, and we need to hold our feet steady. Once again, you've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll see you next time.
From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, wide with fire.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.